We've already seen how when we take out our cell phones and turn on their cameras, it can reveal the inner realities of even a hyper-secretive group like ISIS. Millions of people with cell phones and cameras can catch life in a way no ordinary camera can. The iPhone camera becomes such an eye in a new film called Tangerine. This fictional feature film is set in the rarely examined world of transsexual prostitutes in Los Angeles. The story starts with the rumor that Chester is cheating on his girl, who just got out of prison.
So, I got some good news to tell you.
What?
I've been keeping a secret about me and Chester.
Woo! I know what it is! Okay. You're breaking up with him. Thank God. Because, what? Honey, for him to be cheating like that...
Wait, what?
You didn't know?
As a tale of infidelity, Tangerine will never be confused with Shakespeare's Othello, but this little movie has grand aspirations, and that is part of the charm that made it a huge hit at Sundance this year. Director Sean Baker stuck to his guns, or his iPhones, and star James Ransom eventually came on board, even though he quickly learned an iPhone shoot is not like being on the big-budget set of Titanic.
You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've worked on really big-budget stuff, and I thought, oh my God, I'm shooting on a phone. Like, where did I make a wrong step in my career? But to some degree, Tangerine is the promise of what people have been talking about for, I think, the last couple of years with the democratization of creativity in terms of everybody has access to technology that they didn't, you know, 15 years ago. And so how can you use that to create something new? But yet at the same time, we just took like almost like a really classic Hollywood story structure and just turned it on its head, the way that I see it.
It's a British farce almost.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you say that because it's actually very influenced by, do you know the work of Mike Lee?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and his films High Hopes and Secrets and Lies. We really structured that the whole ending of the film in which our ensemble cast of characters converge at donut time for a big confrontation.
And, you know, that's what's touching because the movie flows out of this sense of chaos to these very directed moments of poignance and intensity. And did that happen as you were filming? Is that deliberate in the script? How much of this was predicted?
We call it a scriptment because it's half a script, half a treatment. It comes in around 70 pages, and sometimes dialogue is fleshed out and sometimes it isn't. I always encourage my actors to improvise, and I'm lucky enough to have surrounded myself with incredibly talented improvisers. There's a very – I always say this. I say if we can actually control about 70% of what's going on, 30% is left up in the air for happy accidents, for whatever may come our way. And sometimes, you know, we run into problems, but other times we're extremely happy with what comes our way and what we find is what I'm trying to say.
There's something ultimately liberating about being freed completely from the traditional Hollywood process. I mean, you don't have to sell a script, right?
We actually got approval on our treatment through our executive producers, Mark and Jay Duplass, who are two, you know, independent film
right.
gurus right now. And they're just like these incredibly supportive producers. And they were just they almost gave me the thumbs up just when I said, I want to make a film about Santa Monica and Highland. And then a little bit down the line, when we actually were very close to deciding whether or not to shoot on the iPhone, it was Mark Duplass who sort of gave me the pat on the back and the thumbs up saying, why not? It's punk rock. Go for it. So they were sort of our studio heads, but extremely hands-off supportive studio heads.
Do you find that people are more predisposed to being filmed? I guess L.A. is a different place than anywhere in the world, but is there something about the iPhone and the way that you do the production? For instance, that line, that food line.
Yeah.
Everyone's just sort of like ready to go and ready to be a part of it, right?
Well, oh no, those were all.
Those are actors. All actors, single one of them.
Yes. And
even
all
Bob?
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob we got from Craigslist. We actually cast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We cast in very unconventional ways because we didn't have the money for a casting director.
Yeah.
So we reached out to people through Craigslist, through Vine, through Instagram, YouTube, and of course, the actors I've already worked with. So it was a real – and of course, street casting, which is how we found Maya and how we found Kiki.
There's actually a lot of unlimited resources in the digital space if you have the patience sort of to comb through it. That weren't available to us 20 years ago, you know, in order to make, tell the story that you want to tell. I mean, even the way that the soundtrack, the way that the movie was scored was curated by Sean going over Vine videos and then reaching
SoundCloud.
Out. Yeah, and then reaching out to the artist directly via SoundCloud.
Except for Beethoven, right?
That was that was actually a public domain track. It was
nice.
So we were very lucky to find that one.
That's great. In this post, Caitlyn Jenner moment, and you've been to Sundance. What's the reaction as to how well you've nailed this world, this scene, this sense of characters? Any ideas there?
So far, all of the press has been really, really positive, but it'll be interesting how the public sort of reacts to it. And
but the people who have seen it at festivals, we've been, so far, we've been getting a lot of love. And this is from everybody, including, members of the trans community who've reached out to us, and they're very appreciative of the film. So, so far, so good.
I also think it needs to be said that anything that provokes a conversation in the mainstream about the realities of what a lot of transgender sex workers have to go through on a day-to-day basis, especially those of color. And if you look at the data, the statistical data, regardless of the story, a lot of Black and Latina trans sex workers come from households of median incomes of less than $10,000, and they're the fastest growing rate of HIV in this country. And their day-to-day life is actually pretty harsh because a lot of them actually want to buy hormones, and they're very expensive to procure. And because it's really difficult for them to find jobs based on gender bias, then they have to turn to sex work in order to pay for their hormones. So, I mean, all that information is readily available on the internet if you go look at it. But if that makes its way into the conversation, I think it's a very important I think we've done a very important thing.
Sean Baker is the writer and director of Tangerine. James Ransom is one of the stars of the film. It's currently in limited release.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.